When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm interested in how you've got to where you are today with very much a focus on helping individuals and businesses. What was some significant signposts or challenges along your journey that have made you ultimately focus on this path of not only your own self-development, but helping others?
So first and foremost, I think it's important to just share that everything that I'm sharing now, I'm 35, and a lot of this is, hindsight is very clear, but at the time I didn't really understand a lot of this. And so every year I try to sort of metaphorically rewatch the movie of my own life. And so this is my 35-year-old awareness of rewatching the movies of my life. I have a very strong memory, and I recently turned 35 in November. And so what I share about my story will be, you know, it's like an old movie that you watch again and you realize so much more about it. Finding Nemo might be a good example, where it's a kid's movie and I saw it back in 2004. But now as an adult, when I watch it, there's even more layers that I never understood. And so sort of same deal here. I'm a huge film lover, by the way, FYI. Cool. So yeah, so you, awesome. I know you did acting, writing, you know, that kind of thing. So anyways, also a huge fan of storytelling, so this will be good. All right. So when I was 2 years old, I was born into adversity for sure. And my father passed away in a car accident when he was 28, and I was two. I had an older sister who was six at the time, and she knew him really well. I didn't really know my father. I was just two, so I didn't, I mean, I guess I did, but not really. And so I was raised by two women. I was raised by my mother and my older sister. When my father passed away, my mom was a stay-at-home mom at the time, and she didn't know what she was going to do financially. Didn't really have a degree. She went to secretarial school, but at least this is the story she told herself, which is, I know how to type really well, but computers are kind of coming, so I'm not really super marketable. So she got with my stepfather, who his name was Steve. My real last name is actually McCorkle. So McCorkle is a very Irish. So I'm Irish German. And my last name now, Alan Lazarus, is my stepdad's last name.
All right.
So I was given the choice to take his last name when I was, I think, seven. And so from age three to age 14, I had a stepfather, and we were sort of, and again, I didn't understand this at the time, but we were sort of pretending, I think a little bit, that my stepfather was my real father. And we didn't really talk much with my birth father's family. And then at 14 years old, my stepfather leaves. And again, I did not understand this at the time, but my sister had moved out, understandable, because my mom and stepdad did not get along very well. And I didn't talk to my birth father's family very much at all. And then my stepfather, when he left, he sort of took his family with him, aunts, uncles, grandma, grandpa, all that kind of thing. And then something really unfortunate happened where my mom and her sister got in a really bad altercation. And after that, I didn't really see that side of the family either. And so it wasn't until recently that I understand this. But now here I am 35 years old, and I, within the last couple of years, I've been doing, you know, some work with therapy and internal family systems and stuff like that. And I've really reflected a ton. And it's like, holy crap, did I kind of lose three families by the time I'm 14? And my therapist, you know, I finally had the courage to ask this question, which was, you know, you've been doing therapy for decades and you've, you know, you've worked with so many people, you know, 0 to 10, how much trauma, you know, have I endured? And I already knew the answer. I was just kind of scared to ask it, but I wanted her perspective because deep down I already knew. She said, Alan, based on the chronic nature of your trauma, I mean, it's a 10. It's the highest I've ever seen. But you know, what's interesting is you don't really know any of that. And I was born in a free country. I you know, in terms of economic opportunity, I had a lot. And, you know, so you don't really realize. But anyways, you know, essentially I lost three families by the time I'm 14 years old. And definitely, I remember back in high school, I remember people saying, these are the best years of your life. And I remember thinking, God, I hope not. I remember they would say that. It's like, no way. No way. And so anyways, when my stepfather left, he got the yacht and the apartment building. We were pretty well off. And we got the home and the dog. And after that, I went from like upper middle class, late 90s, early 2000s in America to I got free lunch at school because our income was so low. And that built a lot of character. So I became the quote unquote man of the house at 14. And I didn't know how I was going to go to college. I had a dream to go to Worcester Polytechnic Institute at that time. And that was my dream, to go to WPI. And WPI is kind of like a mini MIT for the global listeners. It's kind of like it's a really, really, really good tech school. One of the best tech schools in the world. And that was my dream, but it was really expensive. It's $50,000 a year back then, right? So it's even more than that now. And I went from, I want to go to WPI, we're fairly well off financially, to holy crap, how am I going to go to school? And so I got straight A's through high school. I got every scholarship and every piece of financial aid I can possibly get to go to school. I got into my dream school and I went and I studied computer engineering. And then I went for my master's in business. And there were tons of obviously roller coasters in between and all kinds of stuff. But essentially, I went into corporate and I started sort of job hopping. I worked for Tyco Safety Products. I worked for iRobot. I worked for Simplex Grinnell. I worked for another company called Sensata Technologies, which is also known as Texas Instruments. It became Sensata Technologies. And so I worked for all these different tech companies. I eventually ended up at a company called Cognex. And Cognex sold industrial automation equipment all over the world. Think of the cameras that guide robots. It's probably the best way to explain. It's called machine vision. And you've got water bottles going down a line and it checks to make sure the caps are on right and it measures quality assurance type of stuff. And so I sold manufacturing automation equipment into manufacturing facilities all over Western New England. And I had a territory. I went from inside sales to outside sales and I got promoted, promoted, promoted. And I was nearly at $200,000 a year, US. The most I'd ever made, I think, was like upper 180s. And I had $150,000 in an investment account. I paid off all my school debt in 1 year back in 2014. I paid off $84,000 worth of debt in a single year. And I was just working and making lots of money, but I was really quite unhappy. I was on the road all the time. And I'm 26 years old and I'm in New Hampshire with my little cousin. He's 17. His name's Dan. And we weren't doing anything crazy. We were playing Call of Duty, playing video games. And we went to TGI Fridays. And on the way, this was a winter that was awful. And the snowbanks were so high that they were covering the street signs. And so I was supposed to yield. I didn't. And I ended up on the wrong side of the road. And I saw these big bright lights in front of my car. I looked down at GPS, look up. whoa, I thought it was a Mack truck. And when I looked up at these lights, I thought, that's it. There's no way that we live from this. Big lights, huge, right in front of my car. I'm on the wrong side of the road. We're done. This is it. And if you've never had that life or death situation moment, it's very hard to explain. Everything's moving fast and slow. You realize it. And not a single part of me thought we'd survive. Not a single part. We did. So fortunately, it was a lift-kitted pickup truck. I was driving a Volkswagen Passat 2004. I bought it in cash, $5,000. I used to call it the tank because it was a steel German engineered car. Mm. And it was a heavy car. And this car really saved my life, honestly. But so the airbags did deploy and we were okay physically. You know, I hurt my face on the airbag. He hurt his knee on the airbag and in the front of the car. But the car was absolutely totaled. I mean, it was just crushed. And we were okay, though. Mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, though. Now, this is the kicker. He's 17, sort of still invincible, already tweeting about it. I am 26, and my father died in a car accident when he was 28. And so when I say I thought this was it and this could have been it, I mean it. And he wasn't really that phased. My little cousin was fine. I was messed up. Like, I really had that mortality moment of that really could have been it, because my whole life I had spent hearing stories about John, my dad, and I really knew that anyone could die at any time. And I almost just did in the same way my dad did. And so I've seen pictures of my dad's car. I've seen pictures of my car. They didn't look very different. And I really knew like that could have been it. And so this was my second chance, so to speak. So I'm sitting in an armchair drinking whiskey, asking myself all the tough questions, filled with regret. Like, what does that mean? I was so rocked. And am I proud of the man I became? Am I proud of what I did? Am I proud of my choices? Am I proud of my impact? You know, what was the purpose? All this stuff. So now I actually live by this simple quote. I have a True North necklace around my neck. And it represents, you know, a guide, a star. And this quote is, you can't see the stars during the day, but sometimes it takes the darkness to see clearly that which you simply could not within the light. And so for me, I was in the dark and I saw stars that I had never seen before. And I think that's what happens. That's what happens when you're in emotional, mental, physical, spiritual pain. You notice things you wouldn't normally notice. And so I noticed two stars. One is Tony Robbins' TED Talk. Regardless of what you think of Tony, that TED Talk is world-class. So good. Existential questions of why we do what we do. And then the second thing, more importantly, a woman by the name of Bronnie Ware from Australia, actually, she wrote a book called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. And I actually have flashcards that I always carry with me. And one of the flashcards, it's all tattered. If you're on video, you can see it's like been carrying it around for quite some time. It's all ripped up and stuff. But I've actually since interviewed Bronnie. Bronnie worked in hospice for 8 years with the terminally ill. And the terminally ill patients that she had all had the same regrets. She noticed these patterns. I wish, I wish, I wish. And they were all similar. And so she wrote this book called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. And she actually became quite world famous due to this book. And I wish I had lived a life true to myself and not what others expected of me was the number one regret of the dying. And that is 100% how I felt. Because I had always achieved a lot, you know, and I had the quote unquote American dream. I made tons of money. I had a gorgeous girlfriend and I got to have tons of fun. Cognex's motto is work hard, play hard, still to this day. And I used to say work hard, play harder. And I had what everyone thinks they want. Maybe not everyone, but most people, a lot of people. And I was deeply unfulfilled. And at what I thought was the end, I realized that I wasn't super proud of the man that I had become. And now, after that, I'm 9 years later now, because I was 26 then, now I'm 35. I flipped the script. And instead of external motivation and achievement, instead of working from the outside in, I started working from the inside out. And So I went from like really outward looking out inward successful. So from the outside looking in, I was very successful. I went from that to the opposite. I went actually broke, but like really fulfilled. And now I'm very fortunate in my mid 30s to be in a place where not only am I successful from the outside looking in, but I'm also successful from the inside looking out. And I think that you need both. You know, I think you need both. And I think that some people think that they can be inner fulfilled and have no external results. And that's, you know, great. But I've come to find through my own experience that being successful from the outside looking in is definitely not the answer. Being successful from the inside looking out is better than the latter. But true fulfillment, I think, comes from being successful in your own eyes, from the inside looking out and the outside looking in holistically, health, wealth, and love. And so that's really what my through line here is. The theme is vision for your own bigger, better, brighter future, striving toward that. But you've got to work on yourself in order to get there. And that's what I wasn't doing. Personal development didn't come into my life until really 26. And I'm obsessed now with personal development. I mean, I just try to be better every day, more virtuous every day, you know, more in shape every day. And that's still what I'm doing.
Wow, man. Thank you for sharing. I love the way you articulated your story and just the pace of it. And what an interesting perspective shift. You said, you know, when that accident happened at 26, your perspective as opposed to your friend there, the fact that it just forced you into another realm of life, given what you'd known from, from very, very young, just perspective come, you know, that our perspectives are so different. And the fact that you had that perspective that then just was a game changer, you know, that's quite striking to me. And I mean, 30, the hindsight thing, you know, it's really, you don't realize things at the time, but looking back, things make sense. And as a guy who's in his 40s now, I can say like 35 is really young, you know.
Yeah.
And I had it's funny because I had things go down at 27 as well. You know, 27 is this seems to be quite a significant age often in terms of like kind of wake up calls and reshaping things. But for you to achieve what you've had and to have had that external success, as you say, and now taken it into your own hands and all the self-work is really, really remarkable given what you said straight up, you know, born into a world of adversity. It's just often the case. It's like we just step into a kind of, just have to come out swinging, you know. It varies with the individual. Do you think, how do you think, was your stepfather a positive male role model for you? Do you think you had positive male role models around you growing up?
I'm grateful that you asked the question. I don't want to say none, but my truth, it's like scary to share this kind of just, because, I mean, no. Looking back, hell no. At the time, I thought so, for sure. At the time, I thought, oh, you know, you're a kid, so you think these people, you know, I have friends, fathers that I thought were amazing, and in hindsight, not at all, man, no. Yeah. And to an alarming extent, where now as I become... as I work on myself and I become more, my goal is to be more virtuous. You know, I have it in my corner. You are here to maximize your own unique potential and to help others do the same. Everything else is secondary. And I read that every day, you know, every day that I'm in my office anyways. And I just realized that, you know what? I don't know if this is unique to me. It seems like it is, but the male role models in my environment growing up were not trying to get better. They weren't trying to be better. There was no standard, you know? And it's alarming. The reason I'm obsessed with self-improvement is because I had none of it growing up. There was no workshops or seminars or personal. I didn't stumble upon a personal development book until I was 26. And there was none around me, right? And back in the 90s and all that, you know, I was born in 88. And there wasn't a lot of positive role models that I could find online, you know, particularly male role models. So yeah, I think no, the answer is hell no. Unfortunately, no, there was some that were decent, I guess, but my answer is no.
Yeah, no, it just sprung to mind. Cause I thought, you know, with that, as you say, the losing the families and the kind of lack of a consistent, you know, I think that's an important thing. Whoever it is surrounding us, right, to be leveling up to them, you know, in respect. But also, I mean, the fact that you had to take it into your own hands and go on this journey of self-development. I mean, there's no right or wrong. It's like that may have helped you, right, in hindsight, like take it into your own hands and do it. I was just listening to your story. It was just a small thing. When you're in sales, were you out there on the road doing the actual sale, like out there doing the sales? How did you find that? I just find it interesting sometimes. I heard a salesman say he started selling more when he started speaking less.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, that I'm always just curious about that. But so in terms of guiding other people and businesses, you seem like a very efficient person in an awesome way, like really efficient with the things you take in and the mantras and everything that you apply. Do you have a kind of system that you teach individuals, and is that very different to how you deal with businesses and groups of people?
Yeah. So we have a bunch of different things. We do a group coaching program that teams of 10, and we've done 12 groups. We're about to finish our 13th group. We've done 11 groups. We're about to finish our 12th group, and our 13th group starts on January 2nd. So I do groups of individuals. I also do a lot of individual coaching. So right now I have 17 clients actually, and age range all the way from 18 to one of my clients is 63, and all over the world too, which has been really cool. Cause I'm not as well traveled. I haven't traveled internationally a ton. I've been to Canada and Mexico, but like the amount that I've learned from people that are from Australia, one of my clients from Australia, one of my clients was from Italy. One of them is from New Zealand. That's been really cool. But as far as a system that I take everyone through, it's interesting because everyone's super unique, but the way in which you amplify who you are is not. Mm. And so there's principles. And this is kind of my thing that I've been really more lately, but I've always kind of been this way. What is never going to change? And you know, there's a simple question that I asked. Actually, we do monthly meetups every month, and at the last meetup, I put up a PowerPoint slide that said right in the chat, what about you was true 5 years ago that's going to be true 5 years from now? Because what I try to get my clients to do, and this is to try to answer your question, is don't design your life around something temporary. Don't design your life around a passion that's kind of a passion. I've always adored goals and dreams, and I've always adored, even as a kid, achievement and success and helping people. I mean, even strategy. I used to play real-time strategy video games, StarCraft II, and I used to be a semi-pro gamer, and I always loved strategizing. I'm never not going to love strategizing. So design my life around becoming a strategist, you know, and I don't call myself a strategist, but in business and the coaching that I do, strategy is a huge component. And so to answer your original question, I think it comes down to clarity of what you're trying to aim for. I also have always been very future oriented. The bigger, better, brighter future that you want, what's where you need to grow in order to achieve that, I believe is going to be where you learn everything about yourself and where you become fulfilled. And what's going to happen is you're going to achieve these things, realize that that's not really what you want. It's what you thought you wanted, but you wouldn't have gotten there if you hadn't decided that you wanted the thing. Right. And so that's that sort of existential cycle that we're all in.
Yeah.
And so the system that I take people through, the simplest one is at the top, you've got goal, something in the future that you want to achieve that's tangible and measurable. Okay. The next is process. What is the process? How are you actually going to do it? Okay. So 10 pounds in 10 weeks, goal, process, workout every day, you know, eat 1500 calories a day, stretch, sleep well. Okay. Identity. This is the one that everyone misses. Who do you have to become in order to achieve it? People hire me because they want results. What they actually want is to love who they actually are. And who are you when no one's watching? How do you feel about yourself when you're by yourself? Those are the things that we all want. And I can think of times in my life when I was the least fulfilled, the least proud of who I am. And I was the loudest. And I remember I was pretending to be happy to other people. I was putting on a show. It's a short time in my life, but I remember I showed up to my girlfriend at the time. Her name was Courtney, and she graduated nursing school. And I'll never forget this. I was so ashamed of who I am that I couldn't go and celebrate her around all her friends and stuff. We were at Jillian's. It's like a bar, ping pong, pool, sort of billiards club. And I had to take shots of nips in the car before going in because I was so unhappy and I didn't want to have to pretend to be happy. And the only way I could pretend to be happy was to get drunk.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Back then, I was so insecure, so unhappy, so unfulfilled, so not proud of who I really am. And then pretending with my ego that I was happy and proud of who I am. And now it's the opposite. And back then I got along with people. People liked me. Now it's weird. I don't think I'm very easily likable, but from the inside out, I'm so truly happy. And so that's really what I guide all my clients to. I help them get goals and results 100%. Like, you want to increase your revenue? Awesome. And we'll do it. We'll do it. And that matters too. Okay. That matters. But underneath all that, what matters is who you really are, getting back to that, and then amplifying from there. Because if you design a life that is built on a persona and not on who you really are, if you build a business that is with something you kind of like, that is profitable versus something you're passionate about, and you turn that passion into purpose and that purpose into profit, that's something sustainable. And I tell my business partner now, listen, Kev, we sat down and did this on Monday. What has always been true that's always going to be true? And this will be the last thing I say about this question. We did a Venn diagram. In the upper left, I said, Kev, what are our listeners always going to want? They've always wanted this and they're always going to want this. What is it? Boom, 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 boom. Listed it out. next circle, Venn diagram. What are they always going to need? They've always, because what people want and what they need are different. You want a therapist, you need a coach. You want a coach, you probably need a therapist. I wanted a coach, I needed a therapist. Okay. Last thing I needed was another coach, you know? Yeah. Maybe it's the next strategic thinking that's going to do it, right? God. But anyways, so here's what they're going to want. Here's what they're going to need. And always has, always will be. You can build a business on that. Next circle. What are we passionate about? We've always been passionate about it, and we're always going to be passionate about it. Mm. And then the last one, what are our community, our listeners, our customers, our clients, what are they always going to be willing to pay for? The intersection of those four, you can build a business on that. You know, there's certain things like social media is always going to be a thing from now on. Clubhouse might not. Don't build a business on Clubhouse. Build a business on the things that always have been and always will be. And that's what I help my clients with more than anything, about themselves and about their businesses.
Yeah, I love this foundational thing, you know, the self, the identity as the foundation, as opposed to the other stuff above. And the more I have these conversations, the more I realize we're far more alike than we are different. I had a similar thing. I had that persona thing. You know, I was the loudest, the most liked. I was seemingly popular. I was liked by colleagues. I had a career on track. Very similar deal. And on the, you know, I was going home and just in a permanent state of kind of turmoil. But the surface stuff was showing otherwise, and people can only take things on face value, right? So if you're just presenting this persona, you know, you can't blame people for thinking that's like the real deal. But the way you've flipped the book, and as you say, you know, it's crazy. You start to lose people, and you know, there's kind of loneliness and identity crisis that comes with that. But it's actually perhaps a sign that you're headed in the, you know, in a better direction, as these things start to fall away. So I just can really relate to that, you know, that persona aspect. And yeah, you know, it's just like the, get yourself right, and then everything else can fall into place.
But if you built a life on a persona, you can't expect, once you get back to your true self, for all that stuff to stay, you know? Yeah, so you kind of, the phoenix has to burn down before you can, you know, rise again. And for me, I'm grateful to have had that happen as a quarter life instead of a midlife crisis.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's what I meant earlier about being, you know, being very young. It's very cool. It's a tradition on the show to have guests offer listeners some kind of challenge. I like to keep them, you know, I've been very focused on the small tangible things we do that have big potential for change. You know, it's kind of the more I've done this, the more it's like, you know, the little things that have, that can have the biggest impact. But based on your journey, your experience, your professional experience, even our conversation, is there something that springs to mind, perhaps particularly for somebody who is struggling to find that foundational thing we've been talking about?
Yeah. So two things came up. One was fitness, but I don't want to go down that road. not because it's not important, but because I found a better one. As you were talking, I was anticipating the question, and I lit up like a Christmas tree. habit tracking. Habit tracking. I do it every single day. And if I didn't, I wouldn't be saying this. I started, there's these little black notebooks behind me, if you can see on video.
Yeah. Yep.
And this was 9 years ago, and I just started to track my habits. I had this little notebook, and I would actually have check boxes, and I would check them in pencil, mechanical pencil, and then erase the check. And then the next day I would check again. And now I do it with my whole team. I have a 20-person team now, 23 departments. We have a charity, big growing business, exponentially growing business. Awesome. Every one of my team members, core team members, tracks habits. Every one of my clients, 17 clients, one-on-one clients, tracks habits. We have an app now called Optimal where you can track habits. This all started with me by myself after 26, just saying, you know what? I want to get my life on track. And it was these little black notebooks that I would carry around and I would check off when I did my things. So 20 minutes of learning, check. 30-minute workout, check. 8 hours of sleep, check. Whatever it was. Foam rolling, 15 minutes, check. Simple foundational things that if you do them consistently will change your whole world. And similar to what you and I talked about prior to recording, which was you need to have the right amount of structure and the right amount of freedom. Science is a structure. I'm obviously more of a scientist than I am an artist. Anyone who talks to me will know that, but that doesn't mean I don't flow within the structure. And I think the whole world needs both. We need art and science. If everyone was an engineer and a scientist like me, the world would be very boring and very functional. If you're an artist and you resonate more as an artist than a scientist, you need some structure. You do. You need some structure and you know it. Me, I have 28 habits I track every single day. I've got spreadsheets and data and I'm the CFO and the CEO and I track metrics every day. I need a little bit of flow. And I need a little bit of free time to think and to be creative. I'm not saying you have to be fully righty or fully lefty. I'm saying we're all righty or lefty. Whatever you are, be a good one. But being ambidextrous is very powerful. And habit tracking will change your world. You can start super small. In group coaching, we have people starting with 3 habits. You know, I want to drink 90 ounces of water a day. I want to exercise for 30 minutes. And I want to read for 10 minutes. Boom. And then you just start. And then all of a sudden you get those habits to go. They become automatic. Now you shoot for 4, maybe 6, maybe 8. And then you build up. I remember my business partner, when we first started tracking habits, he's like, why would I do that? And we tracked 5 things a day. And now he's doing, I don't know, probably 26. And now he would never not track habits again.
Yeah.
Because once you do it long enough, you see the compound effect pay off. You couldn't go back if you tried. I have clients that aren't even working with me anymore, but they still track. And so if you want to stay on track, track your habits, and you'll just become super hyper aware of your daily choices that you're making unconsciously. And it will change your world. It can't not change your world, because all of us have bad habits and all of us have good habits. If we increase the good ones, the positive ones, the constructive ones, we're going to be much better off and our future will be bigger and brighter, even though it might be a pain in the butt in the moment.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really awesome. It's only when I've ever tracked things that I've actually found I've been able to change and great benefit. Otherwise, it's like you're in it. And you mentioned at the start, just being in certain circumstances in your life without sort of a bigger awareness. You know, I quit drinking. And the only way I did that 5 years ago was to, when I started tracking it. I was
Same.
Awesome. It was like, I didn't like, my priorities were shifting and I just didn't like that it was, you know, like yourself, I'm a very driven, disciplined person, but I didn't like that this thing, I couldn't seem to really get a handle on it. So I had a calendar and I was like, don't be too hard on yourself. Just if you think it's a night where you've had too many for no particular reason, just give it a blue check, you know. And then I noticed there were more of these blue checks than I actually wanted. And that just by doing that exercise brought an awareness that allowed me to change it. But prior to that, I hadn't been tracking it. I was just in it. I was just, you know, and I've done it with food as well. I had some dietary issues. And as soon as I started tracking, I was like, oh, that's the problem, you know. And it sounds simple, but and I also agree with you 100% on the artist thing. Particularly as a father, you know, there was a time when my son, as an artist, he couldn't really differentiate. He's like, is Papa working now or is he free? Because it all sort of blended. And it wasn't until I really got a handle on my time. And, you know, the notion of art being this kind of boundless thing, it's like when I actually put a structure to it, it just enhanced my quality time with him. You know, he became very clear about, okay, Papa's not working now. And I was able to focus on that quality time because I'd done the work in the time that I'd allocated, as opposed to it all just blending. So I absolutely agree with you. The structure as an artist is so important, but I love how methodical you are with things. You know, you've shown the mantras and the books behind you, and it's a system. It's a calibration system, and you're continuously feeding that with all this stuff around you. It's very inspiring.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think it's excessive to some, but that's the thing. I have 28 habits right now. You don't have to do 28. Seriously. If your goals require you, I always say this, you only have to do something at the level that you want to achieve, right? Obviously Michael Jordan has to work harder at basketball than someone who doesn't want to win championships. And so reverse engineer the goals you want. A lot of the goals that people want, you realize it's like, listen, you want the goal, but you don't want any of the process. Even podcasting, right? Yeah. I do 7 episodes a week, 8 actually, because I have 2 podcasts, about to be 3. And we have a production team, but in the beginning, we had to do all that ourselves. And so, yeah, everyone loves podcasting. Not everyone, but a lot of people love podcasting, but you don't like audio editing. You don't like video editing. So everything has these things that come with it. You know, everyone wants to be a parent, but no one wants to, you know, lead their children. And again, obviously not no one, but if you want goals where the process to achieve them is something you can't stand, you're in some serious trouble, especially if the goals are really high. I mean, if you want to be financially free, I hear this all the time. I want financial freedom, but I don't really like working hard. It's like, listen, I can't help you then. There's no way. I mean, people that are financially free, trust me, I have mentors that have $15 million in the bank, in investment accounts, not in the bank, but they worked for 30 years just grinding 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. I mean, every single day. And then later on in life, they're on the golf course and it looks awesome. It's not what you think. Nothing is. And that's what I guess I would leave with everybody is find your own unique flavor of success that you want and reverse engineer that to the best of your ability and learn and grow and improve along the way. And if you figure out, you know what, habit tracking worked, that's awesome, but I don't like this habit very much. Okay. Get rid of that. I like this one. You know, it's your own life. And, you know, if you look at my results or Daniel's results and you want those, but you don't want the things that come with it, in other words, the roles and responsibilities that come with that, then you're in trouble and you'll spend your life trying to create something that you'll never get. And instead of, you know what, here's the results I want. Here's the role I'm willing to play in order to do that. And here's the responsibility that I'm going to take in advance. I take responsibility to lead my team. And it is, leadership's the hardest thing in the world, in my opinion, honestly. I mean, tears have flown. It's been just brutal. But it's also the most rewarding work in the world. And I think that if you can just be honest with yourself of like, listen, yeah, of course everyone wants to lose 30 pounds and have a 6-pack. Who doesn't? But do you want to also diet that much? I used to be a fitness model and everyone was envious of my results, but my process was awful. It was so awful, right? I love cookies and ice cream too. You just have to align results, responsibilities, and roles. And if you can do that, you're going to be very, very successful and fulfilled. But if you spend your life like I did originally, shooting for results you think you want with processes you don't and identities you don't that are incongruent with who you really are, and not aligned with what you're passionate about and not aligned with what you're really good at, you're going to spend your life unsuccessful and not know why. And then there's these other people that align these things. Okay. Michael Jordan loves basketball, also happens to be really good at it in a century where people value basketball. I joke and I say, how much would Michael Jordan have been paid 150 years ago to play basketball? $0. There was no market for basketball 150 years ago. And people don't realize that. It's like, listen, right place, right time, right person, right role, right results, right responsibilities. He takes responsibility for the team, right? I use Michael Jordan because everyone knows him, but you can do this with everything. And if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong passion, with the wrong goals, and by the way, right and wrong, I mean optimal, right? It's Goldilocks, too hot, too cold, too big, too small. There's an optimal stopping problem for all of us. And if you're in the optimal result with the optimal roles and the optimal responsibilities, the optimal goals, the optimal person for those roles and responsibilities, you're going to be absolutely golden. But it takes a lifetime, unfortunately, to figure out how to do that and harmonize all that. And usually by the time we figure it out, it's like you're 60 years old, you know, so you're not alone in your struggles. And when you become a coach, you realize, listen, everyone's struggling. They're just struggling with different things. And yeah, you're not alone, despite what Instagram would show, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. And enjoy the process either way, the overall process, that is. Mm-hmm. So where can people find you? And you've got two shows going now and a third on the way. Where can people find all your stuff?
So the show that's the big one is called Next Level University. And it's level up your life, love, health, and wealth, holistic self-improvement. We have 1,500 and I think 50 episodes. We do an episode a day. The idea is, when you ask me the male role model question, it really hit home for me. Because if I had this podcast as a kid, I was on the phone with a 16-year-old yesterday and he wanted a coach. And he's like, I heard on the podcast that you coach someone who's 18. And I want a coach and I work really hard. How much is it? I said, it's $150 an hour. He's like, oh, I can't afford that. You know, it's like for him, that's like 3 days of work or whatever. But anyways, I said, listen, the podcast is free. Just you can have a mentor in your pocket from anywhere on the planet completely free every single day. And that's what the podcast is about. I also have one with my beautiful girlfriend, Emilia, and my future wife. Called the Conscious Couples Podcast, where we help people in relationships. And then the last one that I had mentioned is called the Next Level Audio Blog. I've started writing a blog and I'm 13 blogs in, and they're really, I'm taking these mental constructs and these frameworks because I'm obviously an engineer and a scientist at heart, and I'm trying to explain them in a way that lands. And so it's really, really powerful. And I'm eventually going to do a dramatic reading of each of those and then put them in audio form, because some people like audio books better than written books. And then eventually my blog will become a book, that kind of thing. So that's my third one. And that doesn't launch until the end of December, probably early January.
That's awesome. I just believe you can never have too many podcasts, right? I mean, maybe you could, but I just, the fact that
you can have too many bad ones.
True. Three's good. Three's a good number. Three's in the pocket.
That's the last one. I'm done after three. I'm telling you, I'm done after three. 'Cause that'll be 9 episodes a week. No, man. Nope.
I've got two, this one. And, but the other one's awesome. And I imagine it's similar with your girlfriend there. It's like, it's actually with my dad. We review films and, nice. we're on opposite sides of the world. So we're both filmmakers. So we share a lot of filmmaking knowledge, but at the same time, when you're living on the other side of the world and you call home, it's the standard questions. How's work? How's this? How's the blah, blah, blah. This is not that. We actually have like real quality father-son time talking about these films.
Nice.
As opposed to like running through the motions of, you know, so it acts as a number of things, but,
have you seen Napoleon yet?
I haven't. I meant to a couple of weeks ago. Have you?
Yeah. Yes. My girlfriend and I went, it was now again, I think that a lot of people on IMDb, I think it has like a 6.6, which I was surprised by. I thought it was extraordinary. I mean, Gladiator, I'm a huge fan. Right.
Likewise.
You talk about world-class filmmaking. It was awesome. It was awesome. Well, especially if you like history, for sure.
Yeah, I'm tipping we might have a similar view. I'm a big fan of Gladiator as well, right? The thing, what's the thing in Gladiator for you? Why is that such a special film? Why is it so cool?
Leadership. Incredible, right. Incredible leadership. Yep.
That's interesting.
And awful leadership. Right. The duality between awful leadership and great leadership. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I also like that essentially he's trying to get back to his wife and child.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So all the battles, everything aside, he just wants to get back to that. You know, that's kind of the through line to me. But yeah, we that's a whole film, a film thing.
It's so interesting because if you combine you and I's through effective leadership, he doesn't want to get back to his wife and child until after he rights the wrongs.
True.
You know, so it's like leadership plus that, which is the theme of that. I'm a huge movie buff, by the way. Film, I mean, just obsessed. Always have been, always will be. the idea that I already have when he says with all my heart, no, like I don't want to be Caesar. That's exactly why you have to be. That I just got the chills. That is unbelievable.
Yep.
And, but he doesn't want to, he wants to get back to his wife and child, which is the through line underneath that is, listen, you've already won. You can go be great if you want, but all that's ever going to matter is what you already have. Right. But you have a responsibility to go be great as well. Mm. And I think that that duality.
It's true. Yeah. It's not one, it's not one or the other. It's a duality. He's think there's things he needs to do first. That's why it's so cool. I have to watch it again. But yeah, I could honestly speak to you for this. We haven't like, you know, I love the, you know, you've talked about the intersect, you've mentioned the intersect. I'm a big fan of finding the intersection between things. And also some of the things you've said, you know, about being very realistic, like time and place, the Jordan example, you know, being realistic about, you know, what is this time and place right now? And how can we serve that and find intersections? It's the whole thing. So, you know, I just really appreciate your clarity and the very tangible way that you deliver these messages. I mean, you're obviously very experienced, particularly in the podcasting realm. So, I really appreciate that. And thanks for so many insights in quite a short amount of time, relatively.
Thank you. This has been awesome. One of the best interviews I've ever been on. Very authentic, very centered, very present. Yeah, on one level we're performing because we want to add value and do the best we can, but underneath it is just authenticity. And it was awesome to have a very egoless interview.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.